First Samuel 18:5-19. David went into battle wherever Saul sent him, and always achieved success. So Saul put him in charge of the men of war, and it was pleasing in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it happened as they were coming, when David returned from killing the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul, with tambourines, with joy, and with other musical instruments. The women sang as they played, and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." Then Saul became very angry, for this lyric displeased him, and he said, "They have given David credit for 10,000s, but to me they have given credit for only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David with suspicion from that day on. Now it came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved in the midst of the house while David was playing the harp with his hand, as usual, and a spear was in Saul's hand. Then Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, "I will pin David to the wall." But David escaped from his presence, twice. Now Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, but he had left Saul. So Saul removed him from his presence, and appointed him as his commander of 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. David was successful in all his ways, for the Lord was with him. When Saul saw that he was very successful, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, for he would go out to battle and return before them. Then Saul said to David, "Here is my older daughter, Merib. I will give her to you as a wife. Only be a valiant man for me, and fight the Lord's battles." For Saul thought, "My hand shall not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him." But David said to Saul, "Who am I, and who is my family, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be the king's son-in-law?" So it came about at the time that Merib, Saul's daughter, was to be given to David, that she was given instead to Adriel, the Mahalathite, as a wife. Now Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. When they informed Saul, the thing was pleasing to him, for Saul thought, "I will give her to him so that she may become a trap for him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." Therefore Saul said to David, "For a second time, you may become my son-in-law today." Then Saul commanded his servants, "Speak to David in secret, saying, 'Behold, the king delights in you, and all his servants love you. Now then, become the king's son-in-law.'" So Saul's servants spoke these words to David. But David said, "Is it trivial in your sight to become the king's son-in-law, since I am only a poor man and insignificant?" Then Saul's servants reported to him, saying, "These are the words David spoke." Then Saul said, "This is what you shall say to David. The king does not desire any dowry except 100 foreskins of the Philistines, to take vengeance on the king's enemies." But Saul plotted to have David fall by the hand of the Philistines. When his servants told David these words, it pleased David to become the king's son-in-law. So before the time had expired, David set out and went, he and his men, and fatally struck 200 men among the Philistines. Then David brought their foreskins, and they presented all 200 of them to the king, so that he might become the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him his daughter Michal as a wife. When Saul saw and realized that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, then Saul was even more afraid of David. So Saul was David's enemy continually. Then the commanders of the Philistines went to battle, and it happened as often as they went out that David was more successful than all the servants of Saul. So his name was held in high esteem. Now Saul told his son Jonathan and all his servants to put David to death. But Jonathan, Saul's son, greatly delighted in David. So Jonathan informed David, saying, "My father Saul is seeking to put you to death. Now then, please be on your guard in the morning, and stay in a hiding place and conceal yourself. And as for me, I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are hiding, and I will speak to my father about you, and whatever I find out, I will tell you." Then Jonathan spoke well of David to his father Saul, and said to him, "May the king not sin against his servant David, since he has not sinned against you, and since his deeds have been very beneficial to you, for he took his life in his hand and struck the Philistine, and the Lord brought about a great victory for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then would you sin against innocent blood by putting David to death for no reason?" Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan, and Saul vowed, "As the Lord lives, David shall not be put to death." Then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him all these words. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as before. When there was war again, David went out and fought the Philistines and defeated them with great slaughter, so that they fled from him. Now there was an evil spirit from the Lord on Saul, as he was sitting in his house with his spear in his hand, and David was playing the harp with his hand. And Saul tried to pin David to the wall with the spear, but he escaped from Saul's presence, so that he stuck the spear into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Then Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him, in order to put him to death in the morning. But Michal, David's wife, informed him, saying, "If you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be put to death." So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took the household idol and laid it on the bed, and put a quilt of goat's hair at its head, and covered it with clothing. When Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He is sick." Then Saul sent messengers to see David, saying, "Bring him up on his bed, so that I may put him to death." When the messengers entered, behold, the household idol was on the bed with the quilt of goat's hair at its head. So Saul said to Michal, "Why have you betrayed me like this, and let my enemy go, so that he has escaped?" And Michal said to Saul, "He said to me, 'Let me go. Why should I put you to death?'" So David fled and escaped, and came to Samuel at Ramah, and he informed him of everything that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and stayed in Naioth. But it was reported to Saul, saying, "Behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah." Then Saul sent messengers to take David. But when they saw the company of prophets prophesying, with Samuel standing and presiding over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. When Saul was informed of this, he sent other messengers, but they also prophesied. So Saul sent messengers again the third time, yet they prophesied. Then he went to Ramah himself, and came as far as the large well that is in Sekhu. And he asked, "Where are Samuel and David?" And someone said, "Behold, they are at Naioth in Ramah." So he proceeded there to Naioth in Ramah. But the Spirit of God came upon him also, so that he went along prophesying continually until he came to Naioth in Ramah. He also stripped off his clothes, and he too prophesied before Samuel, and lay down naked all that day and all night. Therefore, they say, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" Luke 1:1-38. Since many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, it seemed fitting to me, as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in an orderly sequence, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. And yet they had no child, because Elizabeth was infertile, and they were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. Now an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice over his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God, and it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of fathers back to their children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in her years." The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled at their proper time." And meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he repeatedly made signs to them, and remained speechless. When the days of his priestly service were concluded, he went back home. Now, after these days, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me, to take away my disgrace among people." Now, in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement, and was pondering what kind of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason also the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth herself has conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called infertile is now in her 6th month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the Lord's bondservant, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Hebrews 11:1-16. Now faith is the certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. For by it the people of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the world has been created by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he was attested to be righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For before he was taken up, he was attested to have been pleasing to God, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists, and that he proves to be one who rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he left, not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as a stranger in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, even from one man, and one who was as good as dead at that, there were born descendants who were just as the stars of heaven in number, and as innumerable grains of sand along the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen and welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country which they left, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Proverbs 16:12-22. It is an abomination for kings to commit wicked acts, because a throne is established on righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and one who speaks right is loved. The fury of a king is like messengers of death, but a wise person will appease it. In the light of a king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud with the spring rain. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. The highway of the upright is to turn away from evil. One who watches his way protects his life. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. It is better to be humble in spirit with the needy than to divide the spoils with the proud. One who pays attention to the word will find good, and blessed is one who trusts in the Lord. The wise in heart will be called understanding, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Understanding is a fountain of life to those who have it, but the discipline of fools is foolishness. Praise the Lord. Praise him, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, from this time on and forever, from the rising of the sun to its setting. The name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? Who is enthroned on high? Who looks far down to the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the garbage heap to seat them with noble men, with the noblemen of his people. He has the infertile woman live in the house as a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. When Israel went forth from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of a foreign language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled. The Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams. The hills like lambs. What ails you, sea, that you flee. Jordan, that you turn back. Mountains, that you skip like rams. Hills, like lambs. Tremble, earth, before the Lord, before the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of water.